Welcome to Knotcast, episode 303, Crinkle Fennec.
Fuzz, why?
Crinkle Fennec?
So in Zootopia, one of the scenes is Fennec is like dressed like a baby elephant. And I showed,
he's got a pacifier.
I showed Savra these Zootopia books that I ordered from Amazon when he was over on Tuesday. And there's like big splash page of Fennec with the pacifier in there. And I'm like,
man, fucking baby furs. Well, and they have the toy of him in the elephant onesie. And I'm like, I just want the Fennec plush. I mean, I have the pillow one.
Yeah.
And there's a beanbag one, too. That's like $10, but I just haven't bought it.
Yeah.
He does have some regular plushes, but the one they have at the Disney store is him in like the elephant onesie. He's a bit character that like appears for the first 20 minutes, 30 minutes of film. It's not.
Yeah.
But it's a Fennec, and that's all that matters.
Then again, they have a toy for the sloths, and they're in there probably for a single scene.
Yeah. They were using the promo in a big way, so that's probably why.
The DMV sloths.
Yeah.
Well, see, originally this would have been called Half Price Monsters because I got quite the find at the most recent adventures to Half Price Books. My friend M. Defmech was down from South Dakota. He went to PAX South this last week, and they don't have Half Price Books up in his area. So after we'd gotten back, there was a big winter storm that came and fucked Nebraska. Mm. And that's kind of on the way home, so he spent an extra day here in Dallas. So we tooled around, went to a bunch of half-price books. He went to IKEA. Real exciting things.
We don't have furniture back home.
Well, the closest IKEA to him is like 250 miles.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he's like, well, while I'm here.
Yeah.
He just bought like a mattress or whatever because they come really tightly rolled and they just fit across the back.
Did he drive down here in his rig?
No, he rented a car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he rented a car and we carpooled down to San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the half-price books, they had Monster Musume, the first five volumes, for $6 a piece. I have all the
Don't Fuck the Snake
books. Don't Fuck the Snake books. And boy howdy, God bless Japan, let me tell you. They go zero to nudity. And
there are so many tits.
So many tits. With nipples.
With nipples.
And, like, there's a scene with Poppy where, like, she's lost her pants and she, like, lands on Darling's face. But in the anime, it's all in shadow because it's at night. And this one, it's just there's, like, a feather covering her. Like, there's no vagina here. It's just crotch. There's a feather blocking it. Goddamn that feather. I just like, yeah. And my mom would be really proud of me because she got me a $25 gift card for Christmas. And that money went to purchasing
smut.
I bought the Senran Kagura art book, which I showed you guys a little bit ago.
Yeah.
It's all booby ninjas. And then it's actually right there. You're almost to it. Don't Fuck the Snake, the manga. Because clearly the centaur is a superior choice.
Horse pussy.
And big tits.
Just acres of tits on the centaur.
Well, they're not like those weird chicat ones that are like a fucking caterpillar leaving a slime trail of milk behind them. Don't think about that too hard, kids. Don't. For your own safety.
It's how they move so quickly.
They just like pull up their legs and slide.
Yeah, it's like a one of those hydro foil things or something.
So in other news, PAX South was a lot of fun.
Also, each of the nipples also have four legs and they just kind of trot along.
Oh, it's scurry.
Yeah.
It's
like a millipede.
Yeah, they move unnaturally fast, unnervingly so.
Yeah.
Their limbs
splay. Oh, they're way
out
over there. We don't have to. Not home.
It's like in a horror film where the monster like runs super fast.
Yeah.
Except they're sliding on their horrible nipples.
Yes.
God damn it, Fuzz. So PAX South was a lot of fun.
They use their massive cock as a rudder when they're in the water.
Got to see the keynote by Cliff Bleszinski. Ran into Adam Sessler. Got to meet Dave Lang. If you know video games, these names matter.
I didn't think you liked Adam Sandler movies.
And got to see some cool other things. The Megathon rounds with Katamari. MDefMech saw a panel on how Atari games are programmed. I missed out on that one. Oh. I went and saw a silly wrestling panel featuring WrestleMania 2000 on the N64. A panel on ethics, the business ethics of live streaming and doing YouTube and streaming as a full-time job and how to conduct a one-year business plan for that.
Mm.
So it was educational, and there's plenty of cool video games to play. And I managed to make it out of that weekend about $450 down total, which is cheap as hell considering all the things there are to spend money on there.
Mm.
I bought like a shirt. And I came up with like, I think, three or four extras that basically they're giving away swag.
Yeah.
I bought a copy of Exploding Kittens, the Not Safe for Work version too.
There's a Not Safe for Work version?
With crudely drawn dicks done by the dude that does
oatmeal.
Yeah.
So that was cool. All in all, it was a great time, and it was cool to hang out and spend time with him, Defmic, because we hadn't seen each other for like a couple years at this point.
Mm.
We talk all the time online, but you know, when you're in fucking South Dakota, see what I want in my secret plan is I'm like slowly trying to convince all my friends far afield to come move to Dallas, so I'll have a local stream team.
Right.
Like, hey guys, you should totally move to Dallas. Hey, you should totally come to Dallas, and you won't have to do long-haul trucking. You could do local trucking.
Hey, you should come down here, and we'll build a media empire.
No, none of that.
And we'll call ourselves Poison
Juice. No. Let's not build media empires.
Ever furry. South Central.
Yes. The Everfur Network. That sounds great, Buzz. Let's just get on that.
Okay. Like a cock.
But yeah, that was my week, is got home, and I didn't get PAX Plague, so I'm super happy about that.
Good.
Because we wouldn't be recording if I did.
Yeah, that would suck.
So it was a lot of fun. Didn't spend a ton of money, saw a lot of cool shit, learned some things. Came home to a bunch of video views and subs and all that fun stuff. Ooh, fat YouTube stacks, hashtag.
Yep.
I'm going to get my first YouTube check here next month. It'll be like $75. I'm going to go to the bank, get a stack of 50s, a roll of quarters, some roll of pennies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to pile those fuckers up and just photo hashtag fat YouTube stack, and then I put the money back in the bank. I'm sure the bankers will appreciate it. It's like, what the fuck are you doing, sir?
Just go up to the commercial lane and be like, hey, I need this change.
I need to get this fat YouTube stack.
Yes.
Do they pay you in YouTube bucks?
No, you get an actual check. The the payout threshold with my MCN is $50.
And I'll pay you in likes.
Likes and faves. Like and subscribe. Man, there is a lot of nipples in this.
There's a fuck ton of nipples in that book.
Yeah, and I like how he like shuts her the fuck down by pouring cold water on her. He's like, I'm cold-blooded. Yeah, that's right. That's how he gets away from you.
Cool off.
Yeah, man.
There are so many nipples in that book.
Nipple-ish.
Oh, this is the one where this particular scene here where she's all like, oh, you could fuck me if you want. Mark me as your own. Where in the anime, it makes you think she broke his dick off. Mm-hmm. Instead, she just like broke his shoulder or popped his shoulder out of socket. But when you first, you're like, oh my god. Because that would totally destroy the harem manga. She rips his dick off accidentally in the first episode. And they're all still after him. But he's like, I got nothing left, bitch. You ripped it off.
Had to end a harem anime prematurely.
Yeah. And then, like, the rest of the show is just like, it becomes from a harem anime to a boring slice of life with monster girls.
She has it stuffed, and he wears it on a chain around his waist.
Don't fuck the snake.
Actually, at the end of one, you have to marry the snake or the centaur or the bird chick.
That was actually part of it where it was a plot point in the anime. I'm sure it'll probably come up in the manga as well. Or like halfway through, they're like, yeah, we're trying to formalize better relations with these races. And we've considered legalizing monster human marriage, and you're gonna be the first be the example. And he's like, wait, I have to pick one? Okay, can I not just marry all of them? We watched the first episode, didn't we, Fuzz?
We watched the first two together.
Yeah, and they're all like in the opening, it's like all they're all in wedding dresses.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
Yeah.
We also watched the other one where it was like any mention of sex or swearing was
Shumanetta, a boring world where the concept of dirty jokes doesn't exist.
Yes.
Which actually kind of came pretty lame towards the middle.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's like it went back from the dystopian thing to this crazy girl has no boundaries and like rapes the protagonist.
Mm.
And it apparently gets pretty weird.
Mm.
I didn't watch much further than what we did, though. me and James, when we went to review it, and he just was like, maximum frown the entire time. He wouldn't even watch Monster Musume with me.
Oh,
yeah, you broke him that much.
He has very different tastes in anime than I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Straight boys.
That's the thing,
lack
though.
Of boob loving anime.
Yeah, it's like the human form is gross and boobs are gay. Wait, what? Yes. Wait a minute.
Put a top on, you're offending me.
Oh man. Oh man. I'm just looking at the
one of the emails.
The emails here.
I know one is like a novel.
Well, let's see, we have
Did we get a reply to last week's?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a couple of replies on,
wow,
on last week's conversations.
So that's actually something we can discuss, because, oh, man. Hey, someone edited their pledge from $1 to $3, so that's cool. Thank you, Festive Pinball. Yeah, I think we kind of lit a fire.
Mm. Oh, dear.
Yeah. So how was y'all's week before we get into this?
Well, I went to FC before last time I recorded.
So previously when you recorded with us, Fuzz, it was last year.
Wow, have I really not recorded since? I guess not.
Yeah, because we only did one show.
Time. Yeah, I skipped the week after FC because Con Crud.
And that impacts how.
So Tieran and I both got some pretty gnarly Con Crud from FC. The big neat event was Kyle's book launch for Overtime, the last book in the OOP series, Out of Position series. And they had a very nice reception for it, actually. They had hors d'oeuvres and, you know, the hotel was catering it and stuff like that. He did a reading from a section of it, and the artists were there to do, like, a Q&A. He did some Q&A.
I really liked how the book ended.
It was mostly people we all knew. Brer was there because people were picking up. That's where people were picking up their signed copies of the books. I really enjoyed Kyle's, what he wrote when he signed mine.
Don't fuck the snake.
No. It was all gray muzzle jokes. We know all about overtime as gray muzzles, don't we, Fuzz?
We're all a bit old here. Gray muzzles are like 50 or so. When did it move back to be 30s?
MFF 2012, I think it was the year Rikoshi looked at the con book and saw the gray muzzle meet and greet for first 30 and above, and he had just turned 30, and he was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he had that moment of existential crisis.
Yeah, I might be wrong on the exact date.
Well, on the Furry Telegrams group website that manages all that, the gray muzzle group is for like 30+, and I'm like, I was in there for a very brief period, and I was like, this is a bunch of old people getting mad.
Yeah, so was I. I dropped in there briefly, and I think we talked about it, and it was, oh my God, one of the first things I saw in there was these people complaining about these younger furs that don't want to get to know them. All they want is sex. And I'm like, this is a problem?
Are we going to cuddle? Get out. Fag. Yeah. Go Boondocks on them. Boondock Saints. Boondocks, yeah. There's a difference.
Yeah, there is. And I was just like, what? I don't know. But it was more than just that one comment. But it just seemed very negative and very, these damn kids get off my furry lawn. Furry was better 20 years ago.
You know, I'm over here in the 12-foot depth of the fetish pool, and you're over there in the 3-foot with floaties. Fucking casual.
But floaties are also a fetish, so that
the
counts.
Floaties are made of cat tits or something. They have so many spares now.
There's only two tits.
Not anymore, apparently.
They don't allow chick kittens at the pool because they lactate in the pool.
God. Yeah.
You just see this white shape spreading.
It's like an oil spill.
Yes. It lies on the surface of the ocean.
Then we find out that jacket milk is flammable. The pool caught fire.
Burn it off, put some chlorine in. Good as new.
So Shiva, how are you?
I'm hip deep in con.
In boobs. Hip deep and jackass boobs.
My life has been eaten by con. It's rapidly approaching. So I've been buying shit, making shit, arranging shit to be shipped. There's a lot of shit to ship.
Oh, yeah.
I just got...
We got our lanyards in.
Yeah, I got over 50 polos that I have to make into staff shirts.
Oh. Hey, at least you don't have to make any for me.
Yeah, I know.
If you get turned on doing that, you're polosexual.
Oh. Oh.
You know, I had another thought earlier, actually, that when Zootopia fans come about, and they'll be like, I'm a real big fan of Zootopia. I'm a zoophile.
One would hope that they wouldn't not.
But... and the meaning of that word will change.
Oh, so, you know, it's like people that like furries are all zoophiles. What? We love Zootopia.
You know, and people will show up with, like, T-shirts with Judy and Nick on them with, like, proud zoophile written on it or something.
Or, oh, God, like, we're not bronies, we're Zootopians. Or we're not furries, we're Zootopians. It's the same fucking thing.
Right, yeah.
My Zoosona are going to go on Zoo Book and it's Zoogle and Zoo Pun, Zoo Animal Pun, Pun. Her iPod.
I can't wait to see it. I don't want to go find time to see it around Fiesta, but I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I will. Actually, there was a... Isn't MFF that's, like, organizing something in their region?
Yeah, there's actually...
Yeah, they're looks a like long way a, from here.
Well, yes. It looks like there's an email about stuff, too. But, yeah, Midwest Fur Fest is doing...
They're hosting an event.
They're hosting an event, an outing for everyone to go see Zootopia together.
And mm-hmm. people can fursuit. Why would you want to fucking fursuit at a movie theater?
Because they can.
Well, yes.
Near as I can tell, fursuiters will fursuit anywhere that they can without getting arrested. And then they might
and
just...
And in some places where they will.
If the chance of arrest is low enough, they'll still do it. If can you, I fursuit at this? Yes.
Well, no, it actually fursuit. Is like specifically says fursuits can
I know.
Come.
I know, I'm just saying
But it's
that.
Just like, but the range of vision in those are still not that
yeah,
great.
You can just pop the head off.
So here's a...
But then you ruin the magic.
Here's an indication of how long it's been since I've been on a podcast.
Uh-huh.
Because Tyrion just texted me, where are you, honey?
Oh, wow.
Hold on, let me reply. Have you replied?
Yeah, I just said podcasting. He replied, oh, right, duh.
No, I was going to text him, says, he's mine now.
Feel free to text him back.
I can telegram and be like, no, he's with me. Actually, my phone is right over there. Start talking.
Pause for a moment while he just, like,
troll your boyfriend.
Husband.
I'm sorry. I've called him your boyfriend for
hours. Okay. I thought you'd call... Most people call him my mate, which would still apply either way. Although, now that I am married and I've been having for a year, I like using husband just because
yeah,
it's like...
It makes it husband. Very... It's
yes.
Like, it's a... You're a real furry. Wait, no.
It's
you're a real gay now.
I'm a real gay now.
Where is he? I was actually talking with him. There he is. Lol, sorry. We've stolen. Sorry. I've stolen your dude.
That's what I like about, like, my phone's on airplane mode, but now I can still get text because of, like, the T-Mobile Wi-Fi mm-hmm. calling
nice.
Feature. Yeah. Which is cool. I don't have to be off the grid for, like, 3 hours every week.
You can get those all important Telegram messages.
As all of us messaged here into.
Be like, hey. No, sorry, we stole your husband.
Yeah. It seems like other things have gone on.
Christmas, New Year's, probably birthday, Hanukkah.
We did record after New Year, I thought.
We did.
Oh.
You did not.
Oh, okay. Well, you mentioned we had a New Year party, and it was fun. I think, because I listened to the episode. You opened a huge can of worms, apparently, because we got email.
Yeah. That was an interesting thing. I mean, we can go into this.
Okay.
I haven't skimmed the emails yet.
There's a lot of them. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 12 emails. And that's not counting the Patreon one, who said somebody gave us more money. So I said thank you for
that. I archived all the non-email on the show things.
So, yeah, apparently last week when we had our discussion on, like, gender and labels,
mm-hmm.
that surprised you, Fuzz, because you had made some assumptions about me that were perhaps not necessarily grounded in reality. And
bitch, please. Oh, it's your Twitter account. Not since then, but anyway, go ahead.
So apparently we like ignited some thoughts, and so we have emails this week from did they sign their name on this one?
Oh, they signed their name on the last one. Are you talking about that,
from Kylie.
Yeah.
So we have Kylie, we've got other folks, Wolfieman wrote in, we got lots of emails this week, so I think we might as well just bump into it, because we're only 21 minutes in at this point, so we're just going to go right into this, but we will start from the bottom.
Okay.
So this one's titled, Return to Form, also about that snake. Dear Knockcast, another year's come and gone, and 2016 is off to a bit of a rough start. But I looked to the future with optimism, or I would if I had not heard what I had heard. If you couldn't tell, this was going to be a very silly email. So a while ago, I was watching the YouTube videos, and as you do, when I came across an ad for the new Jungle Book movie. It looks intriguing to say the least, but my focus was on one character specifically, Ka, the snake that hypnotizes Mowgli.
Mm-hmm.
So who she's voiced by, Scarlett Johansson. Now, normally, I'd just be curious for the voice choice, but she pulls off the alluring hypnotic tones rather well in the trailer.
That is going to be fucking hot.
Others had very different opinions. It was as I was rewatching a React channel, odd though the trend
TM, had become. TM, douchebag games.
Yeah. Group viewings are pretty enjoyable for this sort of thing. The one person made the joke that they would totally fuck the snake.
Yes.
And I could practically hear Savon and Shiva yelling in the background, "Don't fuck the snake!
Fuck the snake!"
Sorry, but it looks like there's a new snake in town, and she's ready for some action. I hope this news of snake fuckery doesn't detract from any hope the year might bring. After all, there can't be that many snakes that people question their moral compasses, right? Right? Anyway, looking forward to another year of knots. Give my regards to Fuzz if he's still feeling out of it, unless he's better at the time of this reading, in which case, welcome back, Fuzz.
Yay!
Warm regards, Fortunato.
Neat.
I haven't seen the trailer where Ka speaks.
She's the main narrator throughout, the female voice throughout all the... And you see the head come down and it says, "Trust in me."
Oh, and okay.
Yeah, so that's her. Ka's doing the entire narration.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's
I hadn't made that connection.
Oh, Scarlett Johansson, that's going to be cool.
As a snake.
Snake.
Don't fuck the snake.
I don't know. That snake's up and for grabs.
That's a big snake.
Yes.
She'll break your dick off and eat you whole. all right. I guess the next one's an ask.
It's not really an ask. It's more of a...
It's like, glad to hear you guys are back. I was kind of getting worried, but I had to fill the void if you guys left for the month with Furcast. Now I'm obsessed with 2 furry podcasts.
Yay! Congrats.
2 furry podcasts.
All right, so
next one is Kylie's and 2-parter. Should I read both parts? Or...
All right.
Should I read one and then Fuzz another?
Okay. So this is like 3 emails and... Well, this is the first one, and she wrote like... follow-ups, and then there was a PS. So why don't you read this one?
Okay. My thoughts on the writer who didn't understand the gender spectrum. Let's see. Hello, friends. I preface this by letting you know that I've become very zen in recent years. The only thing that's gotten me upset since 2014 was a moment when I realized I didn't understand anything about a subject. And that is a very emotional thing these days, isn't it? We live in a world where you're encouraged to know as much as you can, whether it be from school, work, or just the internet. So I don't get upset when I see someone respond harshly and emotionally about something they don't understand. Now, as you hosts know, but listeners may not, I'm transgender.
Dun, dun, dun. Revelation.
Kylie's a fairly common writer, so we've heard from her many times.
No, she's not. She's an exceptional writer.
Nor is she a common writer. She does not have a motorcycle or transform into a bug robot alien and have, like, a million shows on Japanese TV.
Yes. Oh. There's some really weird ones.
Kylie-san.
What? You know, Kamen Rider Wizard? That was pretty weird.
Recently, I've narrowed that down to
Kamen Rider Pangolin.
Recently, I've narrowed that down to the specific phrase, butch trans girl presenting as male. I hope to remove the male part of that in the coming years. When I've heard the writer mention that they don't believe there is a non-binary gender spectrum, I was okay with that. So many people don't understand this, and I'm still learning about my own gender. I can hardly imagine how difficult it is for someone whose gender and birth sex are the same to understand how they can be different. I believe the easiest analog would be to ask them their opinion on sexuality. You didn't read their whole email, but I assume since they didn't bring it up quickly, they understand how male-female relationship isn't the only option. If I could, I'd tell them that, just like sexuality, gender doesn't have to correspond to the sex you're birthed with. I'd also advise that it's okay to be brutally honest with others, but it doesn't seem like they're brutally honest with themselves. It took me a long while to learn how, but I'd also advise them that there is a great value in being able to say, I don't know anything about that thing. The best part about saying this is that it usually leads to a fascinating discussion that will help you understand the thing. Hopefully that'll help the person understand, or at least set them on the path to understanding how someone could feel a different gender than what they were assigned. Your trans girl Pango from Georgia, Kylie. P.S. This train of thought is continued in another email.
So, your turn, Fuzz.
Okay. I think I hit the wrong button there.
Yeah, I opened two emails with the same...
Okay. Yeah. But. This is on trans women and normal gender roles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Hello again. This is a continuation of the train of thought that I started in my previous email about the person who wrote in saying they didn't understand transgenderism. She even mentioned something about how social justice involves allowing women to act outside predefined gender roles. This got me thinking about my girlfriend. I'll call her Elle for now, since she's not as outgoing as I. She dreams of one day being a housewife, cooking, cleaning, and raising children. I realize that this is no longer, quote, normal. Even if it once was. Because of this, I'd like to take this opportunity to make this statement, since I don't hear it enough of these kinds of conversations. It's absolutely okay for a woman to conform to traditional gender roles if that's what she wants to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%.
Yeah, so do I. I especially wanted to say this because feminists sometimes degrade these women, saying they're reversing the process. I like to uplift and encourage these women for doing what they love, despite that being a currently unpopular thing. Your trans girl Pango from Georgia, Kylie. And then there's a P.S. I know this isn't exactly what Shiva was talking about, but I just wanted to add this to the conversation.
Okay.
The point was is that women should be able to do, and men should be able to do, whatever the hell they want to do and not be forced into any kind of particular predefined role.
Yeah.
Whether it's 90s, 50s housewife or construction worker, they should be able to do what they want to do in such a way that contributes to society somehow. If it makes them happy, then men can be husbands, housewives, or they could do whatever the hell they want. The point is, don't stuff anybody into a box not of their choosing. Yes. If they choose it,
and don't stuff anything to anyone's box without their consent.
There's that too.
Don't stuff anyone into a refrigerator without their consent.
That's worse. You can't survive a nuclear bomb from that.
I hate that fucking scene so goddamn much.
Okay, so there we go with that one. Thank you, Kylie. And yeah, the big deal is, and like I've admitted this on the show in the past, where it's like trans people exist. I don't get how they feel, but I know quite a few, and I've talked to them. And I'm like, all right, you know, whatever makes you, cool. I mean, like, I can't grok that experience, but I can know and understand that I don't have to like understand it completely, but just be like, all right, whatever makes you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was like one of the bigger things we had, like issues that trying to tell this person, no, this other person's trying to tell this person that no, your experience is invalid.
Mm-hmm.
And this, like,
we did get a follow up from that person.
Yeah, and that's the next email.
Okay.
So, all right. Follow up on Asshole Bunny. I heard your response to my email, and I looked into the ideas of mental gender and gender expression. It's actually interesting. You pointed out that how does this affect you? The transgender topic was started because I've been questioning my own gender. I only expressed my opinion to my friend because the conversation started to slip into, well, are you an in-between gender? Which at the time didn't really seem pertinent to the question of whether I should seek a therapist for gender dysphoria and consider transitioning. From what I've heard, most doctors won't let you go halfway with a transition so that you can be somewhere in between. Never really considered the idea of mental gender, and I'd like to thank you for pointing this out to me. It actually helped a lot with the few personal issues I've been struggling with. Well, that was not what I expected that email to be at all.
Nope.
But that's good. I mean, yeah, I mean...
And there are doctors that will let you do all kinds of different spectrums. It's kind of... It's up to you to book any kind of surgery.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, they just want to help you be comfortable with yourself.
Yeah, and for some people...
If you want
to... everyone's comfort level is in a different place. So some people want to get the top surgery but not the bottom surgery, and that's the point where they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Some people want both. I've known people that have had, like forehead surgery because men generally have a more defined, like, forehead ridge, tracheal shave, which sounds horrifying.
But it's just cartilage.
But it's when they get rid of your Adam's apple, basically. Yeah. So not everybody does that either. Just
I mean, there's lots of...
on the person.
It's basically trying to make your body conform to your mental image of itself.
Yeah, and some people don't have surgery at all, or it'll just do the hormones and stuff. Because, like, boobs grow naturally just from the hormones, so sometimes you don't even need a... Yeah.
And sometimes it's, you know, if it's something that just you're content with your friends, somewhat family, or, you know, who are content to use the proper pronouns for you, that's as far as you need. This is very DIY, as in DIY, DIY.
Yeah, do it yourself, but not the actual surgery. Don't do that yourself.
Yeah, don't do that.
All right.
Blood. So much blood.
I've got a tourniquet in one of those turkey carvers.
And for nothing else, because you're gonna hit a price wall, because a lot of this costs money.
I thought you were going to say you're going to hit a vein or something there.
I mean, it basically comes down to it. If anybody tries to make you do anything, you can just say, I don't got the pockets for it. And that may be true. It may be just an excuse you need to push back. But, you know, there comes a point where money is definitely always a factor, especially in our healthcare system.
But I'm going to do that at-home liposuction with an X-Acto knife and a vacuum cleaner.
You just get a shop vac. You know, they're wet, dry.
It's pretty easy. Yeah, yeah.
Just make sure you have the liner in there.
Did I ever tell you the hamster in the shop vac story?
Oh, Christ. That sounds horrifying.
Armageddon!
Tangent time!
All right.
Okay.
I might have told this before. So, many, many moons ago, before I moved to Texas, I worked in a pet store.
Oh, okay.
I was the pet care specialist, which basically is a way to say that I cleaned everybody's tank. Mm-hmm. So, I cleaned the puppies, I cleaned the kittens, I wiped out the... And then you have the rodents. Now, rats and mice are smart, and they usually stay away from the shop vac. So if we, a matter of one hand into the tank, gently encourage everybody down one end, shot back up all the litter, wipe up down one side, and then encourage them to go down to the clean side of the tank, shot back out all the dirty litter, and then add in some clean shavings and kind of work it around everybody. That way it's not too traumatic. The mice and the rats, they were pretty sane. Gerbils were a challenge, but we did it carefully. Because they are very, very bouncy motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have hamsters. Hamsters are fucking suicidal when it comes to a goddamn shop vac. So this is a tank that comes up from about... It's an elevated tank. So the bottom of the tank is about even with my hips. I can lean over the top of the tank because it's one of those reach in, like you can reach in and pet the hamster tanks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm up to my elbows leaning over a tank. I've got a shop vac hose in one hand, and I'm playing defend the hose with the other hand. Because the moment the hose comes into the tank, this giant roaring beast, the entire herd of hamsters goes running for it like lemmings in a Disney bad documentary. So they are trying to run at the shop vac hose. It is whirring. It is sucking up litter. It is making a horrendous noise, and they are running for it. So I'm playing defend the hose with this constant clawing motion as I'm trying to intercept about 20 different hamsters all trying to die by running into the shop vac hose. So inevitably, after working at this place for about 6 months, one gets passed. Hey, you have to understand, this is one of the bladed shop vacs. It's not just the open round hose. It's got the narrowed, like, little blade edge, because I have to get down.
Oh, okay.
Well, one man just gets passed because I'm hurting one on the other side, and one just kind of zips down the front of the tank and right into the end of the hose. And I'm instantly, like, turn around, slam the power button off on the shop vac, because it's like, oh god, I killed the goddamn hamster for sucking up the shop vac. Pull the lid off, and the hamster's right on top of all the shavings. I'm like, oh, little buddy, I'm so sorry. I was really trying not to hurt you. And he's sitting on my palm. And after a moment, he wakes up and starts crawling around my hand. So I put him back in the tank, and I'm watching him because he's a little scuffed up, and I can tell which hamster it is. And I have to finish cleaning the tank because there's still poop. Well, I turn back on the shop vac hose, and I return to sucking up. Does he learn? No. He runs right back for the shop vac hose the moment it goes back in the goddamn tank. That is my hamster and shop vac story.
So that could have gone a lot worse.
I was thinking it was like, if it was one of the narrow opening things, I just imagined that scene from the fourth Alien movie.
That's what I was dreading. One combination being crushed and horrible vacuum. But no, he just went for a ride and got scuffed up and was okay after that. He's like, wee! Yes.
Anything to get out of those tanks.
I think they just like tubes. They don't care what the tube goes to or how loud the noise it's making, because this is a loud fucking shot back.
Yeah, they're not quiet.
And it's like, god damn fucking
Jonathan Colton wrote a whole song about how loud shot backs are.
So yes, hamsters are fucking suicidal. Just FYI.
The more you know.
So we got a Tumblr ask here that Saverin's going to have to research. Because I remember the instance that he's talking about, but I don't know what episode it was in. But I'll just go ahead and read this one, because it's a break. Okay. Hey, guys. Y'all are my favorite show to listen to. I was wondering what the name of the episode was that you read a note in a Scottish accent where the guy was noting the word cunt every 5 seconds. I recently met a new friend who I found out was a fellow fur, and I'd like to show it to him. By the way, you guys helped me through deep depression, and I absolutely love you guys.
Glad we helped.
Yay! Glad we helped.
That would not be that hard to correlate.
No, you just have to search for cunt in the Google inbox.
Yeah, and then just kind of find when that email came out.
Saverin Fennec, searching for cunt. Film at 11.
And here we see Wally Fennec looking for... Oh, wait, this is a fox looking for a cunt. Oh, this is a strange little bugger. No, we know that the natural habitat of a fennec is at the lap of a... Wolf. They're everybody's bitch. Anyways, let's see. This is a short one. Zootopia screening. Hello, Notcast. Thanks for the awesome suggestions when you answered my previous email. Glad you guys are back and well from the holidays. I just had a quick question. Do you guys have any screenings planned for Zootopia at Furry Fiesta? Love you guys and what you do. Darthus.
Cannot confirm nor deny they have not made any official announcement as what they're planning.
So, we'll see.
I think they're still juggling stuff. I know it's been tossed around. Don't know if we're going to be able to do it just due to where everything's
it's
at.
It's one of those, it'd be cool, but there's a lot of logistical hurdles to be had there.
Yeah, transportation, timing, availability, price.
I imagine there'll be a lot of unofficial outings.
Oh, yeah.
You know, while that many furries are together, someone will go to a nearby. Which, if they just get on a... Well, you could go either way, really. You could either get on a tollway and go up to Parker and go to the Cinemark West Plano, or you could just go down to the either the Cinemark 9 at Beltline in Montfort, or over to the Look Theater, which would be an awesome place to see it.
Well, here's the thing, apparently, and this is a weird thing with movies, they're really weird about releasing the same movie within a mile of each other, so it will be either the Look or the AMC.
Oh, and you know what?
It's going to be a 50-50 shot. One's a lot closer.
AMC, were apparently, there's an article about this on the net. We may have talked about this before, but apparently AMC were total dicks. Like, they specifically move into an area to try to run independent theaters out of town. So that's why they built the 9 there. And then they made, like, specific arrangements with some of the film companies not to show major movies there. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what other one it was over the summer. It might have been Jurassic World or Ant-Man, one of the other ones. But they had basically set up so that only they could see it or show it.
And that was Tyrion's response. Sad wolf.
So where do you want to go to next, Severin?
This is a long email.
We should probably hold on to that one for later.
Quite the essay.
Yeah, that's not a me reading it one.
No.
And so Severin reads it in his sexy audiobook voice.
Yeah, I probably should.
We should probably save and then read that one just because it is so long.
Well, somebody read something.
All right, well, shall we just do this long one last?
Yeah.
All okay. Right.
There's one from Wolfie, man.
Yep. I just read about the cunts, so somebody read something else.
Okay, so this is Ben. So, this is from Wolfie, man. Hey, he sent it to his couple folks. Pugmire, a Kickstarter project of interest defers everywhere, I imagine. Pugmire, like Planet of the Apes meets D&D meets a dog show. Already funded with over a month to go. Keep cranking on the stretch goals. A Pugmire fantasy tabletop RPG. Waiting for it to load, and let's see if this crashes the browser on this. This is an old iPad.
This is...
Pugmire, fantasy tabletop RPG with 1,865 backers, 115,000 of 15,000 goal, with 32 days to go.
Wow. That did well.
Yeah. Well, this dude has apparently done 19 projects, 37 backed.
The artwork, once you hit the read more, is kind of neat.
Yes. So it is Dogs, the RPG game. Huh. There's like, okay, the world of Pugmire. Say, fantasy, welcome to a world of fantasy adventure in the ancient future. Pugmire, it's a tabletop role-playing game working on blah, blah, blah. Or it's Dogs.
Lots of dogs.
Think Lord of the Rings meets Planet of the Apes, but with dogs. These dogs have been uplifted to use tools and language, and they seek to rediscover the world they've inherited. Some dogs use remnants of human technology, but they believe it to be the magic handed them by the lost gods. Others seek to create an ideal civilization using a code of man compiled from ancient but fragmented lore left behind by humanity. The code of man. Be a good dog. Obey the master. Bite only those who endanger you. Protect your home. Da, 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 da. Fetch what has been left behind. Yeah. So, it's a RPG world thing with dogs. Okay, that's interesting. So, it's a Kickstarter thing. Just look up Pugmire by Richard Thomas. And for...
I'll note, $20. We didn't cover it there, but they are Anthro dogs. So, yes. It is basically furry art.
Yeah, it's a furry game. Because there's like a border collie... And
the fuck was that?
Was Crossy Road saying, hey, fucker, you can get a free gift here. There's a pug, there's a paladin dog, a ranger beagle. So, yeah, it's...
It's furry.
Yeah, it's super furry. And for $20, you can get the PDF of the thing. You or your dog's name
listed in the credits. Do we know that has a printing company that might help us put them together into paper?
Time to warm up the binder.
Yeah, for $40, you can get the physical book.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in doing a dog fantasy RPG
with pugs,
there you go. Also like a corgi wielding a sword too. It was kind of cute.
Oh man.
Well, this one's also almost an essay.
light of your last episode, I have attached my doctoral thesis on gender and sexuality. Plop. 50 pages.
Oh, man. This other email, the follow-up with... Man, we got some fucking long...
There is one that sort of gives us permission to back out that's like, I know this is long. You don't have to read it if you don't want to.
Well, I'm going to take the shortest one because otherwise I'm going to slaughter the other two. Like, I don't know.
All right. Welcome to the essay portion of the show.
All right.
This is from Kona.
Yep.
All right.
Hello. My name is Kona and I am a bird.
Squawk.
Burb.
I've been listening to your show for about a month now, so I thought I would write in and tell you what I think. I'd originally avoided listening to your podcast because of the name.
Thanks, Fuzz.
Even now, I still find the name a bit off-putting, but because of the content, I'm able to look past that.
We're going to change it to Barbcast. I understand that felines are put off by the knot. It's okay.
If we renamed ourselves this late in the game, people wouldn't know what to do.
We could just name ourselves, like, every other week after a different type of animal cock. We'll have, like, Flarecast. No, that's Bronyville After Dark.
No.
No.
No. Vetoed. Two votes to one. No.
Oh, okay.
We're putting the
pod out. Of course, the first episode would be called 37 Pieces of Flair.
We can just be like the Grey Muzzle Fuckcast. Wait, no.
Also, I'm going to keep going.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right.
Also, I apologize. This isn't as well written as some of other people's emails, as I've never been a writer type. Trust me, you're better than some.
You're using punctuation. Holy shit.
Paragraph breaks.
And capitals, you know, so far, you know. Anyway, I've been listening to your stuff in reverse order, so I fit a bit like Car Cat from Homestuck, watching you guys from the beginning and from the end to the beginning. I've been thinking on what to write about for a while, and every time I hear a topic I'd like to put input on, I realize it's already kind of old by then. So I guess I will just talk about the general content of the shows. I'm not much into the whole book and writing aspect, which is surprising even to me, because my introduction to the fandom was basically through Bernard Dew's Chuckat stories. Yay! That said, it's still kind of neat to hear about, and I'm really happy that Fuzz and Saverin get to spend so much time doing things that they are passionate about.
We were good.
Let's see. For me, though, the big draw to your podcast was the talk of social issues and politics. I really like to hear you guys read emails and then address the issues people write in about. It's also sometimes relieving to hear that some people have much worse problems than my own, I guess, and to hear about those problems, even though that might be a little messed up. I don't know if I call that messed up, though. It can be. It can help you.
It's kind relieving. It's like, man, I got some shit going on, but that dude, wow. You know.
And it's also, it helps kind of put a meter on where you are in life.
And gives you perspective.
Yeah, that's the word I've failed to use.
Mm, perspective.
Perspective. Oh, God. Don't. No.
Thanks, Buzz.
There should be a drinking game whenever what time one of us makes a horrible furry pun. It's like people at home take a shot.
Well, if we want to end the show because we kill our listeners, then, we can do that.
Okay, so...
Don't do that, kids.
Yeah. Anyway, I had a thing I wanted to ask you about as well, just to hear your take on it, and that's microaggressions. The other day, I heard about a trans person getting vocally angry at a perfect stranger who was working at a store for calling them ma'am. Apparently, they just jumped down this person's throat because of it, and I thought that was ridiculous. I was talking about it with a friend of mine, and so it was perfectly understandable because calling someone ma'am is a microaggression. I told them that I don't believe it's a thing, for the most part, because the employee was trying to be polite to a customer, and being a perfect stranger to this person, they only had their five senses to go on when moving to address a person. So I was wondering, what's your take on this issue? Continue listening into the past, Kona. Just plain Kona. P.S. Chuckats are still the coolest thing. Oh my god. Heart Shiva. Yay!
I think somebody getting mad over a random person in a store being polite is a dumbass.
It's frustrating, and I get that. A microaggression for me is, okay, you see someone who's a trans person, and you see that they are somebody who's trying to go, or... intending to go, whatever you want to term that, and I apologize, I don't mean that to be offensive.
Presenting as the gender they wish to present as.
And you see that they are going in a direction, and you make a conscious choice to ignore that or to reject it, and you choose to address them as their former identity. You know, someone who's male to female, and instead of using ma'am, you use sir. But you do it consciously. It's not a slip. It's not whatever. There's a very conscious rejection of whatever was going on.
I mean, intentionally misgendering someone's a shitty thing to do. Don't do it. But, like, for some poor fucker at a store who probably hates their life and wants to die right where they stand, like, that's just being a bitch. That's being rude. That's being overly sensitive.
Funny thing in my life. So my mate Siam is a dude. He's a cis dude. Has no intention to ever be anything other than a cis dude. Zero gender dysphoria. Constantly, when we go out, it doesn't matter if he's got long hair or short hair or beard scruff or, you know, 5 days worth of stubble. If he's clean shaven, baby face, whatever. We go out, we go to restaurants, and he's ma'am. We go through the drive-thru, he's ma'am. And inevitably, he drops his voice a couple of registers when he's been addressed as ma'am. But constantly, and it's been a running joke as long as I've been with him. Mm. And we're heading for 19 years in June. But, yeah. It
like super double secret lesbians.
That's the only thing we see. When people first see him, they like think of him as a very butch lesbian. But I don't see anything, you know, but they don't do it on purpose. And you can see the embarrassment when they realize that, oh, wait, that's a dude. And I just, and some apologize and some just continue on because
they're like, oh, shit, I hope they didn't notice. And I'm going to pretend I didn't mess up.
Yeah.
It's just awkward for all parties in that situation.
Yeah. So a microaggression for me is where someone notices something, rejects it, and carries on with their own version of reality and runs rampant over someone else. If you're walking into a store, you see someone out of the corner of your eye, you're doing a million different things, and you walk up and you happen to use the wrong gender, then, you know. And, like, I've worked call centers before. I've worked call centers since 2000. I don't see the person. I just hear them. And so I either between the name, and they don't always give you their name, or the voice, you sometimes use ma'am or sir. Well, I've had my head ripped off when someone with a voice that sounds like it is very much in one direction or another, and I am wrong, and they hand my head to me when I'm using all the senses I have to make the best guess I can, and I'm wrong. And if they said just, you know, actually it's ma'am, then I would have just puttered on and I would have used ma'am the rest of the time.
Sorry about that, ma'am.
Sorry about that. My bad. I won't do it again.
So I have been misgendered before, actually quite a few times throughout my life, less so now. But in my earlier years, I would have my hair a bit long. Once my hair goes past a certain point, it kind of fishtails out. Mm-hmm. Looks very feminine, which is why I tend to keep my hair pretty short. Like right now, I need to get a haircut because this is starting to feather out.
The floof.
And for me, I just kind of shrugged, like, whatever. Because, I mean, after a while, it's like, look, my hair is... That whenever I'd get misgendered, be, oh, it's time to get a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I...
You're starting to get the Farrah Fawcett swoop.
Yeah, I can barely grow facial hair, so I never had a beard or anything. So,
yeah,
you know, I would occasionally be randomly misgendered, people walking up to me from behind or whatever, and I just, you know, just fucking roll with it, right?
Mm.
I mean, you can totally, like, that person jumping to the person has every right to be mad and rude about it, but we have every right to think they're an asshole for doing so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put in I pretty much agree. I'm going to put in a slightly different spin, mm-hmm. just because the three of us, I hate using these words, but they are actually kind of appropriate. The three of us have cis privilege in this situation, in that
we... Get out.
Oh. I know, right. We don't think about our gender constantly.
It's, I do, but okay.
But it's in general, it's not an issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, for us, it all matches up, and you kind of go about your business.
I'm just going to shake my head at you. Maybe you too, but not me.
I don't feel free. Give a shit. It's not something I think about. So,
right. You know, okay. So for Saturn and I, we don't really think about it. Mm-hmm. So I think for people that are transgender, that are like start transition and they're really thinking about this stuff a lot of these kind of events can be a lot more triggering to them than they would be for us. Where like I could just sort of, I use another one. Take a shot. Yeah. Because, I could just sort of blow it off as, whatever. They saw me out the corner of my eye and I had longer hair at the time, whatever. But if you've been sort of
you've been trying to cultivate an image.
And you've been fighting misgendering from, close family and friends and coworkers, and this is this uphill battle, that it probably feels like a big setback.
Yeah, but
now I agree though that yelling and screaming at somebody in public like that is a dick thing to do, no matter which gender you are, or whether you're transgender or not. I'm just saying that I can kind of understand that it would be a bigger deal for trans people.
Versus a once off, and it happens occasionally to every time you have an interaction with someone. Yeah. It's got to become spikes underneath your fingernails.
Yeah, you probably just snap after a while.
And so, for me, this is not comparable to anything at all, but I went to the grocery store today, and the poor woman who checked me out looked like she wanted to die where she stood. And I was friendly and talked to her. I was like, oh, hey, I brought bags. And she just, staring off into the middle distance, checked me out, put all my stuff in plastic bags. And so I was like, you're probably having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on with it and just took my bags and went on. I mean, and again, this is not comparable to being misgendered, but it's just sometimes, these poor fuckers that are at the gas station or the McDonald's or whatever, they're just trying to get it through the fucking day. They're not out to be rude to anybody. They're just trying to get through the day.
They're tired. Yeah. There's shit going on in their
life.
And
this is actually one of those things where you kind of take an angle. It's like, all right, no. Where, hey, maybe try to be nicer to people in service industry jobs.
Yeah. It's also, it's about empathy. You're trying to understand the other person, that if you're not, like Shiva said, if you're not doing it on purpose, if you're not purposely being a shitty person, then you don't deserve the level of backlash that's described in the email.
Yeah.
It's that empathy. It's understanding, most of us have worked shitty retail jobs or shitty call center jobs where we get yelled at all the time.
And
I try not to be shitty to people in those positions because I've held those positions before.
Oh, totally.
I know what it's like.
And they're not only that, they're designed to give the little peon people, the people who are answering the phones, zero power to make any changes. So getting any of those complaints to anybody who has any kind of responsibility for causing that to happen. Some higher-up manager basically declared that this is going to be some shitty policy. And they are completely buffered from ever having to deal with the anger consequences of making this decision. They don't have to deal with the 10,000 customers that are now ripshit about their choices or their store policy or the way they're doing a misleading sale. They're all cushioned from the backlash. Meanwhile, there's frontline people who get to deal with this because they are the face of the company, and it sucks. And it's been built that way so that the jackasses up the stream don't have to deal with the bullshit that they cause.
Yeah. So both sides.
Yeah.
So just be empathetic.
Yeah.
Try not to shit on other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I say.
Yeah, I could totally see, both sides of that story.
Don't misgender people and be nice to people in service industry jobs. They aren't doing it because they want to.
And they're not.
So which one of us is taking which one?
Oh, man.
Of these?
So these are both.
Let's save before we tackle those.
We're right at an hour.
Okay.
Crazily enough.
So before we tackle the big boys,
we're going to stop and save and use the restrooms and whatever else. So BRB.
Mambo.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to try this again.
Okay, and we're back. And the...
It is recording now.
The recorder is recording.
Thankfully, okay. It was only going like a couple minutes before I looked over to keep an eye on the waveform. Because just in case,
yes.
it sometimes goes, oh, target disk too slow or something. Like we overflow the buffer or whatever, and it fucks up and stops. So if that happens, I try to keep an eye on it.
We realized we were recording in real-time audio format.
Yeah, and we were recording real media.
Yeah, yeah.
Who plays .rm anyway? I don't think any... No, I think VCL... VCL. VLC.
VCL.
Yeah, VCL, that existed when real media was, right? That could do it.
Yeah. They're of a particular... It's like
I've seen it as Milan Central Library, but also Vixen Controlled Library.
That was what I thought it was. But anyways, yeah. So we have two very long essays, and as I said, that wasn't recorded, buckle in, Homestucks.
Okay. Subject line is follow-up. Hello again, casters of the knot. I apologize to Saverin for dealing with my truly wall of text email last episode, and with how quickly Shiva noped out of that one.
I'm wise. I've learned not to torture our listeners.
I think I demonstrated the concept of a wall of text pretty well to the listeners. I appreciate your advice in dealing... I'm trying to move my phone so I can read it better. Okay. In dealing with the issues around my former friend, and funny enough, I actually called him B, as short for Brian, because I've read the Out of Position books, and this former friend of mine has proven to be shockingly similar to his namesake in the Forrester universe. So he's a total dick, basically. I took the advice of the podcast and my mate and decided to not talk to him again. This proved pretty wise because about a week ago, I received a contact request from a new account on Skype he had made. I blocked his original account. And he sent me a message wishing me well and asking if we could get in touch and fangirl about the very book that he gave me shit for owning because apparently he was able to buy it and ended up loving it. Needless to say, any hint of friendship I felt for Brian evaporated more quickly than a Texas fursuiter in the middle of July. I suppose this is the kind of crap that can hit you when you trust the people you're friends with too much. On a side topic, I heard Saverin and Shiva's rather heated conversation about some comments in an email last episode, and I kind of wanted to weigh in with a few thoughts on social progress and identity. First and foremost, the absolute worst thing someone can say is that they're sure about the nature of a situation because it's not like there's scientific papers published on it or anything, quote unquote. Well, as a biology student, I could say that scientific studies are like Rule 34. If a concept exists, it's probably been studied. Even furries have been studied, actually, as an aside.
Oh, man.
Well, how many times have we had the researchers show up at TFF?
Yeah, there's several...
The conclusion, thesis. Y'all are all freaks. That's all right.
Going off of what was said last podcast, I completely agree that gender and sexuality are all spectrums. But I honestly feel like bringing too much attention to them can make things more difficult than they should be. It's all a gentle balance. Discrimination and unfairness should be brought to the attention of society so people can understand what's happening and why it isn't right. But it isn't right to call unnecessary attention to groups of people when they're just trying to live normally and are okay with how things are. I recently saw an old episode of South Park that was first aired in the mid-90s that sums this concept up pretty well. The main plot of the episode was centered around a school nurse who had a fetal conjoined twin growing out of her face. I vaguely remember this one. And in an effort to make her feel more accepted, the mayor of the city decided to host an awareness week for the nurse's condition and paraded her around in front of everyone in town as a hero for living with a certain condition. I've seen a lot of this attitude since I moved to a college town in the Midwest, and starting with my college applications, I've been feeling a bit outgrouped to someone with Japanese and Hispanic heritage. During orientation, I was brought specifically to a few events for, quote, students of color, where anyone who wasn't white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant was brought to hear about support for minorities in science and special scholarships and grants. All things that just succeeded in alienating me and many other students there. I'm perfectly fine with standing up for equal rights and social justice, but not when people who aren't part of a group or cannot make, or, sorry. Who aren't part of a group or cause... make huge deals about it just succeed in alienating minority groups even more. Sorry, it's getting hard to follow the line on my phone here. However, the best thing I know of to balance these issues is for people to just stop giving a shit about race or gender or sexuality. So, in another reality, in other words, I just really hope one of these days most people can just see others as different people with different lifestyles and just leave it at that. I've fortunately seen some traces of this in the student body at my school. There was a student in one of my classes who started off the academic year as Darren and discovered they're actually female. Everyone in class just started calling her Lisa without even questioning it. I'm really looking forward to a time where all the baggage that comes with being a minority of any sort doesn't matter anymore. As a bit of final advice to anyone out there who likes debating controversial issues, it's best to go into a discussion with an understanding that you may find out about something that you don't know about previously. I'm always willing to accept that sometimes I'm wrong, and I hope my thoughts here have been helpful. Anyways, sorry if I've been too long-winded, and I look forward to more amazing episodes. Shoji.
Good.
Okay.
Do we want to talk about that at all? Or no. I don't know if I agree, but
I've seen a couple of basically that statements. I think it was Neil deGrasse Tyson.
DeGrasse.
I don't know.
Anyway, I've heard a couple of pieces. Well, that basically said, you know, how to stop racism? Get rid of race. You know, stop.
Oh, I think you're thinking of Bill Nye said something about race isn't a scientific reality or something like that. I didn't read the whole article. I'm sure that
these guys have said something on that.
It is probably basically, let's stop making a big deal about the red M&Ms versus the yellow M&Ms. You know, they're all M&Ms. They're all
full of delicious chocolate.
Yeah. You know, it's basically, let's...
But those fucking green ones. Watch out.
And I understand it, and I wish... I would love to get it to that point when we're all just human and... Some people are blonde and some people are brown skinned, and you know, where it becomes as little a matter of discussion as, like I said, like blonde hair versus brown, blue eyes versus brown or black or gray. Mm-hmm. It's just a physical trait, and you know, you don't assign any kind of social stigma to anybody of that particular skin tone. There's no preconceived stereotypes because. Oh, they happen to be a shade of brown or pink or whatever. And it's just, it's as blasé as we consider any other physical attribute.
Yeah.
Tall versus short, you know.
But in the near term where everyone is not treated absolutely equal, mm-hmm. I think it's very important to be aware of those differences. Because yeah. I cannot stand the people that are like, I don't see color. Like, they're some fucking... God or something like that, because
no,
that,
you fucker, I'm literally colorblind. Fuck you.
but by saying I don't see color, it's a way of sort of stripping away the history and culture of other people. You know, saying I don't see color means I don't have to acknowledge all the shit that other races have gone through, and we should all be equal, except that we're not. We're not at that point yet.
See, when people say, I don't see color, I don't necessarily see them as, like, not acknowledging that there's any history or cultural differences. I always saw it as, I'm not going to have any preconceived notions about a person based on their genetic background.
Yeah, but you don't really see, I don't really see people using it like that. The way I see
it's really one of those things where context is key.
And also knowing that person to know exactly.
Yeah, I mostly see it from dickheads that are trying to be like, I don't see color, you know, so I don't have to acknowledge
all the shit that happened.
All your personal issue with not being on equal footing with a white person. And it's often used as it's used by the same people that are like, I'm not a racist, but those kinds of people.
It's a prank, bro. It's a prank. Camera's right over there. Wait.
I'm guessing it's a specific reference.
It's just shitheads.
Punked in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, no, don't tase me, bro. It's just a prank. It's just a prank. Oh, God. And they get punched usually.
So, yeah, I think these differences are important right now. Maybe it'd be nice to say that in a couple hundred years... We'll just be humans.
Or there'll just be cockroaches.
Because in a couple hundred years, you know, black people and white people won't have a reason to fight anymore because the blue people will have come and enslaved us all.
Yep.
Except for James Cameron, because he made that movie about blue people, so he will be our white god.
Yes. His head in a jar. just like in Futurama.
That's right. That's how it works.
Futurama is, in fact, how the future will go. Okay, so there's one long email. Does this person sign it? All right, Ruben, here you go.
We're about to Ruben one out for you.
Oh. All right, so it is right now 10 o'clock. Let's see how long it takes me to read this email. SJ Dubs and the Importance of Debate. Dear Notcast, I'm sorry to say that I became a little frustrated with you guys after hearing your tirade on the argumentative fellow on episode 302 who had wrote in on the subject of the existence of non-binary genders. This isn't the source of my irritation, however, as I completely agreed with Saverin and Shiva's position concerning transgender. No, the part that frustrated me was what some came afterwards when the two of you spoke concerning social justice and rocking the boat, as Saverin phrased it. I know it's probably strange to get an email which claims to take ire at something you said in your podcast yet continuously agrees with the points you made. But again, I'd like to say that I agree with the two of you in what you spoke on how important it is for people to make a fuss and take a stand against things that they perceive as being wrong with society. You are right to point out that this is how we progress as society. But then you kind of belittled your point when you implied that those who disagree with those who have those qualms should just shut up and keep to themselves. I absolutely loathe double standards, and there was a major one sitting on your discussion, and this one in particular irks me because it completely undermines what I think to be one of the most important factors to social improvement. Discussion. Silencing those who criticize an idea and refusing to allow any scrutiny of it is how bad ideas are cultivated. You can start with something very positive and useful, and through radicalization and silencing the opposition, you end up with a terrible set of values that does much more harm than good. The process of turning over ideas with other people and putting them through the metaphorical crucible of public attention is absolutely crucial, in my opinion, to ensuring that this radicalization effect is minimized and that more good ideas than bad are applied in a culture. It's important to remember, also, that we aren't always talking about something alike to whether or not we should give a particular minority the same rights as everyone else has. Just because you champion a position in the name of a cause doesn't automatically make the idea the best suited to accomplishing what the cause is set out to change. And I've seen quite a few ideas circulating on the various social justice circles, which not only fail in this regard, but would also only manage to make things worse for those they were trying to help. Remember manspreading? That campaign some feminists and saw types ran based on hyperbole layered copiously over fits of exaggeration, claiming that the very way some men sit and take up space is just another way that they can assert their dominance and subject the poor innocent women held captive there to endure the patriarchal display. Well, they kicked up enough of a fuss to permit law enforcers to take action against those who committed this most heinous of crimes, and we got to see the result of this righteous campaign. Can you guess what happened next? Minorities started getting ticketed and even arrested left and right over this silly idea, because the people who were supposed to be fighting for equality didn't stop to think what could happen if they gave a group of people per to take legal action against something as subjective as taking up too much space. I'm not sure how accurate this is, as I heard it some time ago, but I think that something around 90% of people against whom these punitive measures were taken were minorities. I hadn't heard much about that. I thought manspreading was fairly silly, but I didn't know it had actually gone that far. That's something to fact check that I should look into.
Mm-hmm.
Going on. Now, this most certainly doesn't mean that all the ideas put forward by these types are bad ones. After all, Shiva said... Shiva.
Okay. Shiva. S-H-I-V-A. Not Shiva, not like the cat food.
I was thinking queen of. Anyways, yeah. As Shiva said, social justice and those who advance it is how we actually gain equality and set things right, and why we have things like same-sex marriage and an increasing acceptance and legal rights for transgendered people. However, what I'm trying to say is that not all ideas someone claiming to fight for equal rights puts forward are good ones, and I have seen an unfortunate amount of effort put into silencing people who disagree and shutting them down. Shiva, you spoke about how you hated the term social justice warrior and that it was a means to shut down conversation. What kind of conversation do you hope to have when you have one party do all the talking while the other is expected to sit shamed into an awkward silence because they don't want to, quote, rock the boat? Isn't calling someone who disagrees with you a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, transphobic bigot also an attempt to shut down dissent without addressing their point? Question mark.
Not if they're actually a homophobic, transphobic, racist bigot.
Yeah. Merely calling someone a thing doesn't make it true of that person, and resorting to calling someone something they aren't doesn't even seem to be necessary at this point. In some of these arguments, it would appear that pointing out that someone is a cisgendered white heterosexual male is enough to be able to justify disregarding a point someone makes. But I suppose we can't talk about racism against white people or sexism against men, because according to many well-known and supported activists, these simply don't exist. I suppose there aren't any way for us to compare how one group is treated to, say, the group that is supposed to be oppressing it. To say the group that is supposed to be oppressing is to find out if something is really an issue or not. Stumbling over my words here. Severin, at one point in the discussion, you began to mention something about echo chambers, which surprised me, as the position you were taken was one in which echo chambers are generated and sustained, telling the writer to just shut up and agree with whatever his friends say about things, exactly how these are made. It withholds ideas and concepts that might otherwise temper the other group's opinions, which causes the echo to reverberate louder and louder until the original idea has become so radicalized as to lose the point into which it was originally based. Look, I know I focus a lot on the SJW part, but this isn't really a call for any side in particular, but rather one of moderation. I think the cast over at Unfurled put it well when they pointed out that we need to be able to apply logic separately to each new situation, rather than pick a specific direction and blindly run out of it merely because we started that way. I'm just going to point out that after the end of this.
Yeah, because I got some things to say.
I'm sorry for the short essay, and to whomever has to read this, you guys do end up reading it on the show. Honestly, I'm rather disappointed that after being a fan for around 2 to 3 years, listening to the hundreds of backlog episodes of your show, I actually found about you guys, we were still going a few months ago, silly me, that my first email would be one where I disagreed with you guys, but I suppose that's just how it goes sometimes. It's just that It's just that this has been a very important topic for me for a long time. Paying attention to all sides of an issue doesn't always lead to a more neutral position on the matter. Growing up, I got to hear about how awful and disgusting it was to be gay, how wrong it was for people to try allowing same-sex marriage and all that homophobic nonsense. It really was a huge struggle for me when I was younger, and there was a time when I did just shut out all dissenting opinion and tell myself I was fine with being gay, though I was never quite able to completely convince myself. It wasn't until I was brave enough to sit down and go through hours on the internet listening to the arguments from the other side, all the poorly thought-out excuses that these people had for demonizing innocent people and withholding rights for them, actually served to let me finally accept my sexuality. In that instance, considering attempting to fully understand another side didn't draw me more towards it, but rather allowed me to see it for what it really was and strengthening the opinion I had already held. Even though my reasoning was partially made out of willful ignorance, the basis of my position was correct, and though it was poorly thought out at the time, it was always a good one. I just didn't fully know how right I was until I actually pursued the opposing position, and now I couldn't even imagine being guilty or ashamed of my homosexuality anymore. Anyways, thanks for reading. Due to the atrocious length of this email, I doubt it'll be read on air. Ha! But it was nice to be able to put forth my thoughts for consideration and perhaps vent a little, hoping I didn't annoy you guys too much. Ruben.
Time. Right. How long did it take?
That was 7 minutes. All right.
Okay.
My point's short. Then I will let you go. Mm-hmm. Okay. So with me, at least on the point, it was a specific point. Right? It was that instance. So the whole rock the boat, what does it matter to you? Well, what does it matter to you? Specifically, if your friend says, this is how I identify. That is not a blanket statement. That is not 100% of the time. But I think this writer made the assumption that he had said that we were making that blanket generalizations on single statements. Don't do that. It's all about one thing at a time. There's nuance. Anyways, Shiva, go to town.
First of all, I'd like you to go back and re-listen to that episode, specifically that email. You'll see, I think, that one, I was addressing a particular writer, and it wasn't particularly everybody to sit down and shut the fuck up. It was a matter of this person being, as they stated themselves, being particularly argumentative, blunt. And
they called themselves an asshole.
I mean, yeah. It was basically telling this dude to, you know, you don't have to be harsh. And a couple of your assumptions in here, I took objection to the social justice warrior because it is usually an insult used to shut down people. However, I did not take aim at the other side of that. In fact, some of the malarkey that the people who are usually slandered as SJWs annoy the ever-living fuck out of me. And I think it is ridiculous, and I think it's, you know, just outright wrong. And it pisses me off because it makes the whole thing harder because they're going through some rather extreme hijinks. Your whole thing with man-spreading in here. So, basically, dudes on the subway, they sit like assholes. They take up too much space. Everybody who rides public transportation, whether you're a dude or a gal, knows that there's some jackass on the bus who will take up two seats or who will sit and splay their asses out.
Two seats or more.
you know, take up as much space as they want.
Or they bring all their groceries on the train and put it on the seat next to them.
Yeah, well, that I can kind of understand. It's a pain in the ass, but it's not basically one dude just sprawling out.
It's okay at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but if you're doing that shit in the middle of commuter hours, then fuck you.
I think people around here would just sit on you.
Yeah.
I don't ride the train, but I think.
Yeah. So, long story short, you got this asshole who's taking up too much space. And yeah, some women took umbrage on it. And, you know, spoke up, and I don't know if they made a thing about it, but if it happened to result in minorities getting ticketed over it, and they're leaving the man-spreading white guy jackasses alone, that's a completely different topic. That is cops targeting minorities. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with the jackass man-spreaders. That's just another excuse to apply rules unevenly. That's a completely different topic.
If there was a rule against being too light-skinned, black people would still get a ticket for it.
Yeah. So, it's... I wasn't shutting him down because of the echo chamber effect. I was shutting him down because he used a term that's usually, in turn, used to insult and shut people down. If he had brought this up without basically one... starting out with the whole, I don't believe this is a real thing, okay, and then turning around and then using SJW as a derogatory term, then you wouldn't have gotten the tirade against SJWs. That's a particular...
My computer is chirping, I know.
Because I've been called it for daring to complain about some treatment I got.
You've been called a woman?
No, SJW.
Damn it!
He just sat and just off
to yeah, again. Yeah, he's trying to mute his iMac.
Yeah. Sorry, Saverin has been attacked by static electricity all night long.
I am a Jolteon now. Sorry, I'm a Pokemon.
And
Jolteon.
Yeah, it's still recording.
But do you have the soul of a Jolteon?
No.
So, you talk about, sexism against men happens. And there is such a thing to an extent as white racism.
Ooh.
I know, it's not...
Hey, you try being white in China or Japan.
No. Well, look, I'm saying...
South America. South Africa.
It's not pleasant, and it's not fun. When I say white racism, yeah, rules do get applied negatively to white people. It happens. It's not...
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But by that same term, we're getting a taste of what other people have put up with for God knows how many years. And yet, it kind of sucks. Maybe we should stop being all fucking racist. You know? It's kind of... We're finally getting a chance to see what other people have dealt with for as long as people have been around. And, you know, if you've been I call it a victim, but it's, you know, in the end, it's going to be a minor inconvenience to your day.
Can I throw a quick analogy in here that I read on Twitter from a friend of mine that is actually very appropriate? So right now there is a big book and play going around called Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And it tells the life of Alexander Hamilton in a hip-hop style. Mm-hmm. Majority of the cast of the play is minority.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one white character, and it's the king.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend posts a thing. It's like, I'd love to be in Hamilton, you know, and I'd have to go for the king, and there's only one white role, and all the white guys will be going for it. You know, it's like, yeah, that's the point.
And that's kind of when white racism happens, unless you're a fairly unusual individual, you're going to get something happen to you, and it's going to suck, and it's going to be shit. But, you know, that's probably going to be a fairly small incident in your life. And of all the millions of white people out there, this is going to be a fairly small incident. Now, turn that around. And if you're someone of a particular minority, they're going to spend
their entire lifetimes getting doses of this, sometimes on a day-to-day basis, and it's constant. It's like what we said earlier about trans.
That's just what I was thinking, yeah.
You know, you get misgendered, and it becomes like nails on chalkboard. Whereas if you're cis and, like, my other half's I am, and you get it, you know, every time you go out to eat.
You just
and
blow it off you as blow it a off minor inconvenience.
You know, so whereas you're a white person, and it happens, and it sucks. Whereas if you're a person of color, and it becomes a nonstop pressure on your life, or if you're a woman, and I will say this, I don't find myself particularly attractive. And I'm heavy, and, you know, and in some ways in my life, I've actually considered that to be a good thing. And I'll tell you why. Because walking home late on campus, you know, it's like, hey, I'm a fat girl. The likelihood of somebody, you know, wanting to rape me is low. And I'm not even fucking kidding you. This has gone through my head on periodically when I've been out late at night. If you take and you talk to various women in your life, tell them you're alone in the parking lot and you're walking to your car. Does it go through your brain of, hey, somebody might attack you? Do you go and do you check the back seat of your car? Have you had it driven into your brain from the very beginning to be careful what you wear, be careful what you do, be careful if you're drinking who's around you? Just talk to any of the women in your life and ask them how many times they had that drilled into their heads and that they're scared from the moment they hit, you know, puberty. And then, you know, and sexism, like, okay, you're a woman and you don't make as much, or you're in the tech field like me, if you're too pretty, you're considered a bit of fluff and you don't have any brains. You'd better dress a little bit masculine and be one of the girl, like tomboys, which I naturally am. But I've seen the girls who are more girly or who are not outwardly nerdy dismissed because they're not in the field. So, and yes, it does happen in the reverse. And sexism against men because, oh, they're not caring enough for any kind of the caregiver fields. There's different ways that men are, but it's the percentage that it happens that's the issue. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I am no way, in any way, shape, or form, saying it does not happen. I'm just saying that the percentage is a vastly different scale. So, yes, reverse racism needs to stop, but it also needs to stop across the board for everybody. Sexism has to stop for everybody. But I'm not saying it's not a problem for men, and it does need to be addressed. Just like male rape, you know, it happens, and it needs to not get dismissed. There were a bunch of boys that raped other boys up in Oklahoma, like I think last week, you know.
There's a one where it was like there was one in Tennessee where it was a violent hazing.
Yeah.
And they had like a fucking pool cue.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah,
like the kid got.
You know, male rape happens all the time. Yeah. False rape accusations happen all the time. The problem is that a lot of those are taken as entire. They say, look, this dude got raped. Okay. And they take that as that means that it's not as big a deal for women, you know, or, you know, sexual assault in general. It's just that they bring forth these cases of where it does happen to men. Yes, it does.
But you're comparing an extreme outlier versus the reality for every woman, basically.
Yeah, and the thing is I see this about the news already. It's like, okay, so take Halloween candy.
Oh yeah.
Halloween candy. Some dude, once upon a time, tried to poison his own kids with Halloween candy. Got caught.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became all Halloween candy is unsafe. Or there was a person
There's razors and apples.
Yeah. There's people are tracking, you know, don't put those stickers on the back of your minivan with your kids and what school they go to, because that's a way for pedophiles to find you. Okay, there's millions and millions and millions of people in the U.S. This has happened 5 times, but despite the millions of times it does not go wrong, you take 5 or less where it happens, and that becomes everyday life. now this incredibly finite, small example suddenly puts millions of parents on edge when it's such a finite chance of it not happening.
It's like...
it goes back to being outliers are become the fight against the norm, and when they're the probability to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know the rape statistics off the top of my head exactly of male rapes that are unreported versus reported female rapes. I know it's there's a degree of lesserness to it. I don't know what it is.
Quite a bit.
But it's quite a bit.
But even female rapes are very underreported.
Yeah. And sexism, again, you know, in your lifetime, how many incidents have you faced with being discriminated against because you're a man? And then ask any woman...
I couldn't sleep with a lesbian man. That was discriminatory. No.
And then ask any woman how many times that they've been... talk down to, you know, why aren't you pretty? Why don't you dress some more? You know, it just ask someone, take any woman, and have them tell you how many times that something has been done to them, or they didn't receive something, or they were smacked down because they're a woman. Mm-hmm. Just ask, yeah. Take a poll, ask your female friends.
And I swear to God, if anyone replies to this with "not all men," fuck you. That's the wrong fucking answer. Be like, well, I don't do that. I don't rape, or I don't. And it's like, no, that's not the point.
And maybe you don't, and I'm glad you don't.
But you can't dismiss legitimate concerns just because you're not a rapist. It's like, but the fact that there are rapists out there, that's the issue. And
the whole "not all men" is that I'm not a rapist. That's great, but women are on edge, and we are trained from puberty to be wary around men unless we know otherwise. And even then, there's a little whisper in the back of our mind of, if you don't know this guy, absolutely be really fucking careful, you know. Mm-hmm. Go to parties with friends, watch each other's drinks. It's not that you particularly are a rapist, it's the fact that there's a culture around us that has put us in fear. And sometimes those are blown up by the media. And sometimes, yeah. And sometimes, well, actually, yeah, I do think that the media somewhat blows it up. Take the whole Halloween candy scare.
Oh, that, or the satanic panics of the late 80s, early 90s. There's a lot of things. I mean, hell, look at the bullshit Bernie Bros versus Hillary Harpies, that kind of, hey, it's the millennials voting and they can't do discourse for shit.
So, you know, so like I was saying, sometimes it is blown up by the media, and that we've been taught to fear. In fact, culture in America is really laced with fear. Yeah, see, that's what gets
me, is like, everyone is like, oh my God, I'm so afraid of everything. Well, for fuck's sake, harden up.
If you're not all men, you don't need to say it. You need to turn around and say, fuck you guys, whoever's out there fucking raping women, or doing whatever, you need to turn around and basically do the equivalent of punching them in the nose and telling them to fuck off and stop, you know.
I think, though, that's a societal thing, that there's no, like, individual, like, capability to change, right? It's like, who are you friends with? And, like, if you have a douchebag friend who does that, you should totally turn his ass into the cops. But, like...
And some people do, but there's, like, a real strong sense in society to, frankly, not rock the boat or cause trouble or be the one to speak out. And it usually takes exceptional people to actually speak out about an issue. You know, if you see...
I think I just kind of take this... And
sometimes it takes a really loud shout and something extreme to just nudge the global thing a little bit more towards center. You have to take it... It's like having to take a running start and slam your body against something just to make a little nudge in norm. And those slams can be really annoying to everybody, but it gets the whole thing a little bit more towards center.
I mean, so, I'm all for, like, personal diligence. I think that everybody just spends too much time being afraid of everything nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Just do things. I mean,
shit. We had a former roommate who was, like, a fucking scared kitten 99% of the time. And I'm like, how the fuck do you live like that?
Yeah, they had actual issues, though, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, And so, like, okay, you've talked about that, right? Thumbs up.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
I think.
Well, I was gonna say, can you clarify for me? You're actually saying like kids these days are all wimps? I mean,
I do think that people, well, like she was saying, you know, it's like, oh, you know, you gotta watch your fucking back and make sure that you're not gonna get fucking like stabbed by a crazy person in the parking lot. Just have some situational awareness. And it's like you said, there's mainly outliers, right?
Yeah.
Like, odds are, if I'm walking out to take out the trash, nobody's going to be in my parking lot to shank my ass.
Except for maybe a possum or a skunk.
There might be a bunny. I've seen bunnies. There's bunnies living in the drainage ditch now.
Yeah, but I think the concerns that women have are actually legitimate about potential rapists or even, I mean, just being
aware of your surroundings called is important.
Oh God, I have been catcalled.
Being in constant fear, like the way they describe it, just seems so draining.
Well, because you're a man and you don't have to deal with it.
Oh God,
I've walked fucking downtown New York at midnight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'll admit I wasn't really afraid because I figured not, oh, I'm a dude. I was a fat white kid walking around in night in New York, right? Because for the most part, people aren't really out there to get you.
Well, even if you're not consciously thinking, I'm a man, I don't have to worry, that's still in effect in the world, even if you don't consciously realize it.
So, catcalls? I used to occasionally go walking around the circle out here. And yeah, I loved it when the guy slowed down, rolled out their window, and say, "Run, fatty, run!" Or, you know,
that's just someone being an asshole.
I know, but
they're
it's
not catcalling you because you're a woman. They're catcalling you because they're assholes.
Well, here's the thing: when you hear the traditional catcall out on the street, they're not actually expecting you to turn around and go, "Oh yes, fuck me now." It's a humiliation exercise. They don't expect the woman to go, "Oh yes, do me right now. I'm glad you like my ass, and my tits are great too." They're doing
it to
my new
ringtone for Shiva.
They're doing this to humiliate the woman and
assholes,
and to know that she can't respond.
It's to exert power, you know, make themselves feel big.
I mean, that can happen to really anybody for anything.
I know, but
it doesn't really happen to men, though.
I have seen it happen to some of the fat nerdy guys.
Yeah.
I'm a fat nerdy guy.
Outlier, one in a million. I'm a fat nerdy guy, too. I don't get catcalled and insulted generally in public. That's the difference, is this shit does happen to women. Talk to some female friends. I mean, I learned about this from my sister. Like, I thought construction workers going, "Hey, baby," as a woman walked by was some weird stereotype from the 1930s that didn't really actually happen. Until my sister told me when she had a job downtown, she had to deal with it every fucking day, multiple times, walking from where her car was parked and back. And just wearing regular business clothes. So, you know, for the people that are like, "Well, they were asking for it, they were dressed like a slut." Yeah, there was an interesting story about that.
About the 5 inches?
Posted to Facebook.
Okay, because that was what I was like.
The woman
was
wearing a big fluffy parka.
Like a fucking puppy coat.
And boots that went over her knee and had like 5 inches of leg, not even showing. They were covered with leggings. And the guy was like really obnoxious. He's like, "Damn, girl, those legs," you know, like. Like, "Thank you," is what he said. That's what got her, as if they were, like, somehow a gift to him.
And then when she walked away, he pursued her and kept it up.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm just gonna, like, okay, so
I'm just saying that shit happens. And I just honestly think that when it comes to it, people say it's an echo chamber, but it's an echo chamber of people saying, "Fuck, this happened to me. It kind of fucking sucks. Can it please stop?" You know, and I'm all for the discourse of, you know, that's a little bit extreme, you know, and, you know, the whole man spreading is actually meant to be like a territorial claim of the seats to oppress the women.
I think he's just being...
Look at my balls. Well, actually, no. Sitting with your legs together does squish your balls.
I think the man-spreading thing is kind of silly. That's, like, one of the feminist things that I didn't really get on board with.
Yeah.
Just because, like 3/4 of the photos that they posted, it was, like, the middle of the day. The train car was half empty. And
the person was sitting down themselves.
Yeah, and nobody was infringing on anybody else's space.
I actually did go snopes that while Shiva was talking earlier.
The minorities.
The thing... And yes, there were 2 people that got picked up because of complaints on the train. These guys were on trains late at night. And these turns out that the individuals in question, based upon the anecdotes stated, had outstanding warrants.
Ah.
So they got noticed, cops picked them up, took them in. The judge was like, fucking seriously. And dismissed any charges on that related to that. And also said, if you guys don't get arrested, we'll just toss out the rest. Fuck off. It was these guys had outstanding warrants for minor stupid shit. And the judge was like, you're wasting my fucking time. Get out of my sight.
Yeah. So.
So it did occur, as far as anyone can tell, and Snopes can confirm. But it wasn't like they're suddenly going through Harlem ticketing
minorities. And the whole man-spreading thing is just it's a bane on all public transportation. And whether
anybody
it's
taking up too much space. I mean, yeah. Shit. If you have a fuck huge purse, put that between your legs.
Yeah.
If you're one of those dudes that carries on duffel bags full of socks and tries to sell them to me, fuck off.
That was the weirdest fucking thing.
It's like, don't fuck off and sit elsewhere. Just fuck off. I keep having that happen. Like, anytime I take the train downtown, and I don't do it very often,
there's they sell some you dude socks.
Trying to sell you socks or undershirts or, hey, check out this cool, cheap crap I picked up off Harry Hines. I'm going to mark it up 3X and sell it to you.
The only one of those that I actually really like is occasionally you'll find dudes with bottles of water on a really hot day. They got like a cooler of ice.
That's some smart entrepreneurial spirit right there.
Yeah, it's like they'll send you a bottle of water for a buck. It's like, fuck yes, I really wanted to drink.
Just make sure you check the seal.
Yeah.
Also, and
everyone I've had always pops and cracks, so.
That's, yeah. Or, you know, just think if the Girl Scouts got in on that.
Yeah.
Girl Scout cookies on a train. Buy a box, then by the time you're done, you get to your office and you're like, there was cookies here.
We were down in New Orleans, and we took the trolley way the fuck out to view some of the houses. And we ended up taking it way out almost to the end of the line. And it's the big open windows. There was some dude towards the end of the line with a couple coolers of water and on ice. And it's like, water? And there were like, $5, give me water.
I don't care how much it costs.
Well, and he probably spent it, you know, 12 to, because they were very generic water.
Yeah,
they were probably 12 to 25 cents. He's making a buck off each. It's like, I don't care. You're outside the door. It's like 80 degrees and 90% humidity.
Yeah.
Please.
Yep.
You know, good on you. You are providing a valuable service.
I just want to throw out the idea in question. It also depends on what ideas are being dismissed as being bullshit and shut the fuck up. Because, frankly, anti-vaxxers, they need to just shut the fuck up and go away. And people that don't believe climate change is real need to just shut the fuck up and go away. Because
flat earthers?
Flat earthers need to shut the fuck up and go away.
But the moon. The moon's a fucking hologram.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know that.
Russians did that, man.
Yo, fucking, what's his name? Stanley Kubrick shot
the moon landing.
Shot the moon landing. But he was such a stickler for detail that they actually had to go to the moon and shoot it.
Yeah, these goddamn Hollywood liberals.
That was brilliant.
I know. I saw that on Twitter, and I was really tickled by it. But no, like the anti-vaxxer thing actually has a measurable
negative effect
in the real world, and the science is done on this. This has been settled for decades, and you're causing diseases to come back by not vaccinating your children. You're a fucking moron. And that, for me, when like the science comes in and they're like, majority of scientists agree that this is the case, I'm like, fucking sold.
Especially there's when the original report got debunked multiple times.
Yeah, that's
over.
The thing.
And they're still holding this debunked report as being the alpha and the omega, when it's been shown that it's bullshit.
Yeah.
There's this funny little comic I see pop up on Tumblr, usually associated with people making ridiculous claims. It's like, people with evidence you're wrong, and it's a bunch of people holding up, like, you know, surveys and studies and other shit, evidence that you're right, and it's a person standing off by themselves with their fingers in their ear. And the person looks between the two and goes and stands with the person with their fingers in their ears.
Right.
Yeah. So.
We have now ranted.
We have now ranted for 40 minutes or so. 45 minutes at this rate. And if you're still here, congratulations. A winner is you. To wrap things up, if you have enjoyed this rant, we have a Patreon. You can always... if you like to support the show, you can go find us on patreon.com as Knotcast. $1 a show or $1 a month, either way is great. We'd appreciate every last one.
We'll only accept any yelling about SJWs from our patrons.
It's like we have to verify. It's like, oh, these people invested in us? All right, I guess. You can find us on Twitter at Knotcast. You can find us on FA.
Not that we use it.
Tumblr. And
so Tumblr is a good way to send us anon questions.
Yes, you can send us anon questions.
Or if you don't feel like typing out an email, you just have a 2-second, like, you know.
I like your shit, high five, that's cool.
Or one circle question instead of, like, having to write out a paragraph.
Instead of a 7-minute story.
I have to say, that's our longest wall of text in a very long time.
Yes.
Golf clap.
Well, I don't want to clap any louder. That would deafen people.
Yeah, and Sam would be like, oh, there's a spike. That must be where we stopped recording.
Like, it's over. Yep. Did we have anything further? I'm just going into sort of the ending spiel because it is 10:36.
Furry Fiestas next month.
Oh, God, it's coming.
Yes.
Please come to the con.
Fiesta is coming. Fiesta is coming.
Register for your room. They're all gone.
I did see that Path noted that we ticked over 1,000 pre-reg.
Yay.
He said it publicly on Twitter, so I can say it here. Cool. Rooms are all full, so good luck finding a local hotel.
Now,
sorry, dudes.
I will say that people are canceling so that people have been able to pick up hotel rooms because we were kind of hitting the 30 days out when people can make a solid decision.
So they're like,
on,
oh, shit, I can't afford it, or I can.
Yeah. There's also people who have been offering up to transition their rooms out. There have been lots and lots of people looking for roommates, so that's a possibility.
There is a room share forum on the website.
Yep. So if you go to furryfiesta.org, there's a forum, there's room share. There's people out there looking. So we have a Facebook group. You know, you can look at some of the Twitter hashtags, you know. So there is hope of being in the hotel. You may not get your own room. You may be able to share. There is still room in the overflow hotels. That was, like, as of yesterday, I heard. If you want a room, keep calling the Intercontinental. They'll actually know first if there's a room release rather than the website. Apparently, the website updates slower.
I'm going to throw out a resource on Twitter relating to this. There's a Twitter account called Con Roomies. And if you tweet something that you're looking for a room or something, they'll generally retweet it. So it's a good place to look if you're trying to find other people for a particular con that are looking for a room or a ride share.
Mm-hmm. Also, I have a couple of one cool things this week.
Oh, okay.
First of all, there is a podcast I enjoy put together by Scott Kurtz and a couple of folks called Surviving Creativity. It is a podcast for creative, self-employed individuals. Scott Kurtz does PvP.
Table Titans, too.
Yes. Yeah. Corey Cassoni, a couple other folks. They talk about navigating the world of business, being self-employed as a creative artist and the like. So that's cool. They recently are in their second season, as it were. Let's say season with quotation marks. But they have come back after a winter hiatus. And their first guest of season two was no one else but Erica Moen.
Really?
She of Ojoy Sex Toy.
I love that.
And that was
comic.
A very educational and enlightening episode. I recommend you guys to check it out. Also, a website resource for teens and positive sexuality, a website called scarletteen.com. And they have educational resources that are not bullshit, but targeted at younger sex-interested people. If you're a horny teenager, you can look at this website and get better ideas on what sex is.
Shows you how to put a condom on a banana.
Probably.
Cool.
They talked about it very positively, though I've not taken the opportunity to go on this website myself. But, you know, it's Erica Moen recommending it. So, you know, there's that.
It's probably good, yeah.
I love Ojoey Sex Toy. It's so good.
Check that out. And apparently there's a book called, like, SEX. With, like, there's dots between the words, and it's, like, a book you can get that, you know. And one of those, my body is weird and smells funny, you know, kind of books.
Have you seen Ojoey Sex Toy's Anal Safety Snails?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I do follow that comic. And I follow her on Twitter. So I see when she posts some new stuff new. Because it's like once a week. Let's see, what else?
I hope she sometimes comes to Dallas so I could like go to any of her, you know.
Yeah. Things. Apparently she's doing a signing. It's the... Good Vibrations Sex Store on the 12th in San Francisco. I've been by that store when I was in San Francisco, I think, time before last. So, we were down in that area and just, hey, look at that. Sex toy store.
Called I'm going to throw out something. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Related to the fandom is the Ursa Major Awards are currently taking their nomination in the nomination period for different, yes, best Vore comic nomination for different categories. Just do a Google search for Ursa Major Awards. I think their website's .org. I don't remember, but
yeah,
but check that out forever. If you read a book. Read a web comic, listened to a podcast, enjoyed anything produced by
like
four furries, then, you know, nominate it in the appropriate category.
Yep. Let's see. So, you can follow us on our respective social medias. You can find me at Saverin Drake on Twitter. You can find me at Saverin Drake on YouTube. Like and subscribe!
You can find me at Fuzzwolf on Twitter. My company account is For Planet also.
Buy his books.
Buy my books.
Bad Dog Books, too.
Yes, and also baddogbooks.com, where we have ebooks for sale. Nope, we will not ship you anything from Bad Dog Books, because we have had that question.
What, like a USB drive?
It is electronic only, yeah.
What you can do is you can just get a little thumb drive. Uh-huh. Put the, you know, it's like make it something ridiculous, like an 8-gig one, because they're the baseline cheap ones now, and you put like a 500 megabyte PDF on there. Like, all right, here you go.
And a free USB drive.
That would cost so much more, it would be worth it, but it would be funny.
You could do it as a shipping option. USB delivery.
Oh, what you can do, you know, I have the custom USB things.
Yeah.
You get one that's just the For Planet logo. And so, like, it pulls in half, and, like, there's USB on the bottom. So you just make it, like, a super premium option. Do you want the book, your ebooks delivered to you on a For Planet USB plus $20?
There you go.
There you go. Or, business idea. You can have that one.
Okay. Thank you.
And on social media, because Shiva is taken everywhere, I go by Chimera. Chimaera. I can never get Shiva.
Nope.
I don't think any of us are out of town or anything next week, are we?
Next week we will be back, and I'm sure that this episode will engender lots of conversations. And as always, you can email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com.
Yay.
So on that note, good night.
And don't fuck the snake.
And horse pussy.
And or both.
And now we get to hear me be shocked again. Oh.